Peace, peace, y'all. This is Mega Ran, and I just want to thank you for joining me for another episode of Random Encounters. Again, we're on our wrestling kick, as we have been for the last few weeks. I want to thank last week's guest, Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze, for joining us. And this week, we go with a man who's been in the news lately, if you follow the dirt sheets, the rumor mill. Young man by the name of Leo Rush, who also just released a new album that you should check out. But he's been in the news for a different reason. There's a bit of a controversy going on that I'm not going to get into, and I did not get into in this interview on purpose. I'm just getting started in this journalism thing. I don't want to become the Jerry Springer or sensationalist journalist of podcasting. I just want to talk to people and have real conversations. So we did get to get into his stay in WWE, his favorite moments there, what makes him tick. We talk a little bit about mental health and awareness of that. And we get into some good conversations. So thank you to my guest, Leo. Make sure you check out his new project. It is out now. Speaking of new projects, myself and Young RJ have an album called Two Hands Up. It's out now on all streaming and downloading services. But right now we're climbing on the iTunes charts. So if you can, go get it on iTunes. Help us get up to the top. Show them that some real hip hop can make some noise in the world. All right. So here is my chat with Leo Rush on Random Encounters. Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Megan Rand with Random Encounters. And on this show, I like to talk to people who are in most interesting lines of work and what makes them tick and where we get the motivation to do the things we do. Today's guest, Leo Rush. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm holding up as best as I can during all this craziness.
It's nuts. So how overall is this altering your, I guess, routine?
I think it's definitely, at first it was bad. I was just trying to figure out, you know, how to go about everyday life. I think I was in denial with the entire situation, and I tried to continue with, you know, things that I would normally do every day. But, you know, as serious as the situation progressed, you know, I had to kind of get a little more creative with what I'm doing, you know, with the whole, you know, social distancing and quarantining and stuff like that. So it's definitely affected my everyday life and my daily routine. But in a sense, I feel like it's helping me be a little more creative.
Okay. Same with me. I think it's keeping the fact that I'm at home and I'm like, I may as well pick up these things and these projects that I've been thinking about doing. It's actually kind of increasing my output. So just trying to make the most out of it, I guess, as we all are. So you are 24 years old.
Yes, sir. Correct?
When I was 24, and that was a long time ago, I literally had no clue what I wanted out of life. I was working a job that I hated, trying to find my way to the thing that I really wanted to do, but just bumping in the walls along the way. How long did you know that wrestling was what you wanted to do?
I started watching wrestling at the age of 5. I became a fan at the age of 5, just randomly flipping through channels, and I just so happened to stumble upon SmackDown on the UPN network. And but I don't think it was until I was about 10 or 12 when I started figuring out, man, this is really cool, and I need to figure out how I'm going to be a wrestler. So yeah, the interest of becoming an actual professional wrestler started like around 10 or 12.
Nice. I can remember watching at the same age, around the same time. And do you remember the first event you went to live?
I do. I remember it was SummerSlam. I can't remember the year for the life of me, but I do remember that it was, you know, some of those matches that were on there was, I think it was Batista versus JBL and like a cowbell match. Then there was Eddie versus Ray in that ladder match, and Hogan versus Michaels. It was a very special, you know, first live show experience for me. So yeah, that was my first one.
Wow, that was like a big, big time for a first event.
Yeah,
a lot going on. You had all the legends like active and stuff at that time. That's dope. All right. So what is the biggest myth about professional wrestling that you can shoot down?
That I can shoot down. Oh, man. I think the biggest one, and I think it bothers me. It kind of bothers me. But a lot of people think we're like filthy, stinking rich. Like it kind of like blows my mind a little bit. But yeah, I think that's like the biggest one, just because it kind of bothers me on a more of a personal level, because I'm actually in the business. But yeah, I think that's the biggest one. You know, we're not getting paid the same as, you know, NFL players and baseball players and basketball players and stuff like that.
So where did the music thing come from with you?
Yeah, I think a big reason of me being involved in music right now is my parents. My parents were a gospel duo. They've gotten nominated for Stellar Awards in the past. You know, when I was a very young child. And I feel like, you know, from all of the nights of listening to my dad's recording sessions, because he was also an engineer. So I would listen to all of his recording sessions, because my bedroom was literally right above the studio, and I would just hear all of the music every night, all day. And I think once I got to, you know, my teenage years, I started to develop a interest in poetry, like randomly. And, you know, the hiatus that I had when I was a part of the WWE, when I was home for like about like five to seven months or something around that time, I started to put my poetry towards music, and I put out a single, and, you know, people really liked it. So I decided to, you know, stick with it.
With the timing and the crazy schedule of, you know, being a WWE superstar, do you feel like without that time off, you'd be able to get these things done creatively, this album and tracks and videos and things like that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, even when I was really busy with wrestling, I always tried to find a way to still be able to do music. You know, there's a lot of long flights and car rides, so I would always find myself, you know, always writing while I was on the road. And then once I got home, trying to find some time to get in the studio and record. But it's definitely making it a lot easier now, you know, now that I have this free time and stuff, and I'm away from the company, and I'm able to focus a lot more on music.
What inspires your writing process? Is it songs you hear? Is it life? Is it the news? Is it, you know, just what do you do when you want to be inspired?
I think I look at, you know, past events that I've had in my life, or experiences that I've had in my life, or current situations that I'm going through, or even where I see myself going in life. You know, I think a lot of the lyrics in my songs has to do with real life, you know, situations or expectations or goals. You know, even though, you know, some of the stuff that I say in lyrics might not be what I'm currently going through or what I've gone through in the past, but maybe, you know, those lyrics can be my expectations for future things that, you know, that I want to accomplish and stuff like that. So I think it all comes from a very real life thing.
Okay. You talked about a situation and a moment when you were a teen and you're in a dark place. And some things mentally were going on. And I just want to know, was that the moment you realized that something was different mentally? And as far as your mental health, is that the moment where you realized that this was a time to speak about it? And what do you do when you deal with those kind of things? You know, like what's some coping mechanisms?
Yeah, I think I didn't realize this as I was going through it, just because it was all happening so fast, and, you know, I was just reacting and trying to figure out what exactly it was that I was going through. But it didn't hit me, you know, that it affected me as much as it did until I got in my early 20s, and I got signed to the WWE, and then even more issues and problems and things that I had to overcome started to come into play. And I realized, you know, I'm feeling a certain way and I don't know why. Maybe it's because of, you know, past things that are triggering old emotions and stuff like that. So I thought that kind of telling my story publicly was very important because, you know, I had so many people that followed me at that point. And I like being upfront and honest with my fans. And I thought that it was very important to, you know, let people know what I was going through and how I'm overcoming. And, you know, just trying to be an overall inspiration and to everybody that has, you know, supported me over the years.
That's true. There's a quote I keep up on my wall from Warren Buffett, that honesty is a very expensive gift and you shouldn't expect it from cheap people.
Yeah.
and another one about honesty is that there's no legacy as rich as your honesty. So I want to say I appreciate you being honest through your music and even through, you know, the things that you share with fans. A lot of folks don't do that. They keep this wall up. And I think it's important for people to know that there are people going through the same things. There are people who experience things who, you know, who might be, even if they're super billionaires, like pro wrestlers, they go through,
yeah.
they go through things, you know what I mean? What is the biggest reason why people who seek the dream of pro wrestling fail?
I don't think I've ever been asked this question before, but I think it is because it's not all that what they, you know, thought that it was. You know, when you're a fan of pro wrestling, I feel like that's all you're seeing is the larger than life aspect. That's all you're seeing are the characters. That's all you're seeing are the bright lights and the fans chanting and the cool entrance music and stuff that's very, superhero-esque. But mm-hmm. then once you actually get in the company, in the business, you start to realize that there's a lot more that comes with all of that. You know, things like backstage politics and stuff like, backstabbing and people who want to be at the top. You know, not everybody can be at the top. Not everybody can be the champion. Not everybody can be the face of the company. And I feel like a lot of people get discouraged. I feel like a lot of people, get disappointed and, you know, people tend to, you know, fall off one by one because, you know, the expectations of happiness, you know, being a WWE superstar just isn't what it is or what you thought it was when you were a kid or a fan.
So it sounds like a lot of adjustment of expectation kind of has to be done.
Yeah, definitely.
It's I wouldn't say it's like, say, football. Like, I played football in high school and it's like, all right, you're praised by everyone because you're the biggest, fastest, strongest. And then you go to college and everybody's the biggest, fastest, strongest.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I guess I better do something else, you know, or figure out some other way to stand out. Because the things that made you stand out, it's like, all right, now there's some other criteria.
Yeah.
You know? So it can get a little bit crazy, you know, mess with your mind a little bit.
For sure.
Musically, who are some of your favorite rappers and what are some of your favorite albums?
Favorite rappers. I think you know, I'm inspired by so many different styles and genres, but I think people that I might currently listen to now or the styles that I gravitate towards the most, I would say Drake, Tory Lanez, Eminem. I was a huge Juice WRLD fan. Still am. Post Malone, Lil Wayne, like the list, I could literally sit here all day and name, you know, people that I like, as far as music, as far as albums, so many good ones. I mean, I can't even, if I can pick one, If I can pick one that made me feel some kind of way, and I think this is solely because of nostalgia, I think it was Lil Wayne's last album. I think I was anticipating it for so long, and I think he definitely delivered, and he proved, in my opinion, I think Lil Wayne is the best in the world. He's touched on so many different genres, and he's done so many great things. So yeah, I would say Lil Wayne's last album.
I can't even deny that. I feel like the same way when I listened to that album. I was like, man, this dude is still spitting.
Okay. Yeah, there was like no let up, like at all. Like I was anticipating it, like, and I think I just forgot. I think I forgot that Lil Wayne was just as good as he was. And then once I heard it, I'm like, oh yeah, nobody's touching him.
Yeah, it really felt like a mixtape to me. Like it was like, oh, he's just rhyming. Like, yeah, this is really good, you know. So I think he had to come back and let people know who might have forgot.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I can't argue with anybody who says he's the greatest. I mean, his run has been incredible.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of runs, you tweeted that you might never wrestle again. This has definitely caused some shockwaves through fans and folks. Do you still feel that way?
This was definitely a real thought that I had. When I tweeted this, and it wasn't off of something like, oh, I just recorded this crazy song and I think it's going to blow up and I just might not wrestle again. And I don't think it was anything on that like level. I think it was genuinely, coming from a place where I feel like my time in the wrestling business was coming to an end, you know, even before the release happened, I would, you know, talk to my family and my friends, people inside and outside of the wrestling business. And I would just say that I just feel like I'm not going to be, you know, doing this for much longer. And once the release happened, it just made me think about it even more. And yeah, I'm happy right now with what the situation is. I'm happy with what I'm doing in my life. You know, I spent the last 3 years being, you know, although there were a lot of happy times within the company, there were a lot of bad times, and some of those bad times were traumatizing. So I feel like now I'm happy. I'm able to control the things that I've wanted to control for a long time now, like myself, like my family, you know, like my music. I'm able to focus on all of these things because, you know, when I was in the WWE, I just put so much time and effort and energy and money into the WWE, and I neglected, you know, things that were close to me. So, you know, I have the thought process of, if I'm happy, why would I go back to a time where I was frustrated and angry and confused and disappointed? And, you know, it just doesn't really make that much sense to me to go back to that when I'm as happy as I am right now.
Makes a lot of sense. So what was your ultimate moment of joy in the wrestling business? Your highest high?
I think for sure walking out at WrestleMania with Bobby, that was nothing can compare to that feeling. You know, walking out in front of 80,000 plus, you know, having my name said in a microphone, you know, on pay-per-view, and it's incredible. You know, even though I wasn't, you know, actively wrestling on the card, you know, just the fact that I was a part of a major storyline, and, you know, I was very essential to Bobby's, you know, progress on Monday Night Raw. And I think that, you know, there's no greater feeling than that. I take a lot of pride in the work that I did with Bobby, and you know, to let that ride all the way to WrestleMania, it was a really special moment for me.
I agree. I really enjoyed the stuff with you and Bobby. So I got to shout out Kaz, who was a writer at the time.
Yes,
who definitely claims a lot of responsibility for the input he had on that, on those segments. How did that come together? Where someone was like, "All right, you and Bobby would be a really great fit." So how did that happen?
I have no idea. honestly, it shocked the hell out of me because, you know, not only did I just get caught up to 205 Live, you know, I was going through all the things that I was going through within the company, and I was on 205 Live for, I think, about a good solid 4 to 5 months. And then randomly, I got a text message saying, "Hey, Leo, we need your flight information because you're needed for Monday Night Raw in 2 days." And I was like, "What?" Like, I was so confused. I thought it was a joke, but it wasn't. My flight got booked. I got to the arena. I sat in catering just waiting to see, you know, why I was even there. And then Bobby came up to me and said, "Hey, what's up, man? Nice to meet you. Did you hear what we're doing? Did you hear what we're doing?" And I said, "No." And he was like, "Well, apparently I think we're supposed to be, you know, like a team." And I was like, "What? like how? Like why? like where's this even coming from?" And then he said, "Yeah, I don't know all the details on it, but Paul Heyman told me, and he said that he was gonna reconnect with us later on in the day to, you know, tell us the details. Because apparently, you know, Vince saw some of your promos that you've been posting on social media, and he asked me, what did I think about this Leo kid?" And he said that I love him. And then Vince was like, "Well, I've been thinking about putting him with you." And then Bobby was just like, "I think that would be a great idea." And then I got that text. So it's so weird how that worked out. So random, so unexpected. Man, it literally like a movie. It's just unreal.
I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed doing that stuff, because it was very entertaining. I think that from that moment, a lot of people realized, like, oh dang, like this dude can talk. Like, not only can he wrestle, but he can really, really go, and like you could sell anything. You know what I mean? And I think that was when it became apparent, like, dang, this dude has multiple skills. And I think so then hearing you then transitioning to music stuff, it's like, it wasn't that much of a surprise to me, because I was like, all right, I see that this guy can adapt and can do a lot of different things. Yeah. So I was into it. The most important song to you, what would that be and why?
The most important song to me. Just ever, or like that I've written, or
that you've written.
Okay.
Like that people who know you need to hear, or want to know you need to hear.
Wow. It's so hard to choose one song from this album, because I feel like this entire album just kind of sums up what I've gone through personally that has made me, the individual that I am today. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of my life, my earlier, you know, days, with having two kids, with being married at only 25 years old, obviously I've gone through a lot of, relationships or love or however you want to call it. I always think that Scenic Lullaby is a special one, just because, you know, this was the first one that I put out. This was something that was really, you know, personal to me. I feel like this was me opening up to the world in a time where people said that I wasn't a very vulnerable person. I wasn't really approachable and stuff like that. So I feel like Scenic Lullaby was something that, you know, I took a risk on with opening up my life, my personal life, to people. And I definitely think that.
Okay. That's a really tough question. I get it all the time and I hate it, which is kind of why I hate to give it to other people. It's like, pick your favorite kid, you know? Like,
exactly.
man, it's difficult.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to get to my silly questions and then I'm going to let you go. What is your go-to meal at your favorite restaurant?
Definitely a burrito. Any type of like any type of whether that's like a vegan burrito or like shrimp. I love a good burrito or a good like vegan burger.
Okay. I have a real man, I don't even remember the name of the place now, but it's in Gainesville, Florida. I had the best fish burrito I've ever had in my life.
Oh man.
I need to remember that place now. what is your favorite word or phrase? What do you say all the time? Whether it's in a text, whether it's wherever, you're like, man, I say that a lot.
I say that's crazy.
I heard that in the background.
Yeah. My wife chimed in with that one. Yeah, but I feel like I definitely say that's crazy a lot.
I think I say that a lot too. It's either that's crazy or like, wow. Or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And we talked about all the things that you can do and you're good at. What are you just not good at? I'll probably get your wife to answer this one too. What are you just not good at? Like, this is a thing that, like, yo, don't ask me to do this because I will not do it right.
I think I'm not very good at fixing things.
Mm.
Like physical things. Like, if like a drawer broke, like on one of our dressers, then, you know, my wife kind of handles that. She's like the handy person with doing all of that.
That's good to have. Sometimes I can surprise myself. My TV, this is the strangest thing. I'm about to get on it actually after this. Is the TV, the base to my flat screen TV broke. So now I need to replace it. And I'm about to really see if I can get handy with this.
No, but no, like, need to replace it. My wife could probably fix it in 10 minutes.
Dude, I'm like, yo, it's leaning forward. Like, this is not a good look. My TV will just fall if I'm not careful. No. So I might need to hire her for this job. All right. So before we go, please let everybody know how they can get the new album, how they can stay in touch with you on socials, and, you know, what's next.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of on every social media platform right now. I am on Twitter at It's Leo Rush. I'm on Instagram at Rush Leo Rush, which I think is my biggest platform right now that I'm promoting everything that I have going on. I'm on TikTok, which the entire world is right now, at Hey, It's Leo. I also have a website, musicbyleo.com, where you can find all of my music on different streaming platforms, as well as merchandise such as t-shirts, 8x10s, handmade and hand-rolled incense, you know, made by my wife with her small business, Oh My Goodness by Sarah. And that is all that I have going on right now. And of course, I have an email address, contactmusicbyleo@gmail.com for all business inquiries.
Nice. I was about to say, are you doing features?
Yes.
Rappers will probably ask that.
So. Yes, I am.
Okay. Collaboration, I feel like, is something that's super like important to the process.
Yeah.
And can bring out so many new things. So I'm definitely a big proponent of collaboration. So it's good to hear that. All right. So thank you so much, Leo. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to listening to the album all the way through. I started it. I really like what I heard. So I'm going to continue and finish that today.
Thank you.
And I think, and, keep up the good work, stay creative. And, yeah, man, I look forward to seeing you down the road, dude.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
Shout out to Leo Rush for the chat. Thank you for the time. And if you have the time this Wednesday, make sure you're coming to the house. Yes, my house. Random House Studios is back with a special episode featuring a good friend of mine, an amazing musician, game developer. I'm talking about the Otaku King, Richie Branson. All right, so get your tickets. They are all over my websites. You go to megaran.com/shows for that. And until then, stay up, stay positive. And stay creative. Most importantly, though, stay random. All right, y'all, I'm out. Peace and love.